Conversations with Maria Menounos, podcast edition.
Is there anything she can't handle? She looks fear in the face day after day, but yet she never runs. She's unbreakable. She's a warrior. She's you. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. These things happen because you have to live your true self in a bigger way.
Featuring the best of Maria Menounos' SiriusXM show with celebrity and life-changing interviews, thoughts on the week, and more. And it's free. All we ask is that you rate, comment, and subscribe on iTunes, and tell a friend to subscribe to SiriusXM. Listen to Conversations with Maria Menounos on SiriusXM Stars 109 at 1 p.m. East. And now here's your host, Maria Menounos.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome back to Conversations with Maria Menounos, the podcast edition. Playing a little Mr. Big for you to come in here. Throwing it back, way back. I love finding these old songs. I live to listen to SiriusXM's 80s and 90s channels.
Yeah.
In the co-host seat today with me is Miss Ashley Daniels.
Hello, Maria.
AfterBuzz TV host, The Tomorrow Show host as well. Yeah, it's funny. When I listen to these songs, it brings me right back to that time. And then I have this weird moment where I get confused because those were the days where I was dreaming for all these things to happen. And now they've all come true. And so it's like a time warp. So like I'm riding in my convertible I always dreamed of having while I had been listening to this in my like old car, like or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
So I was thinking that today, actually. It's so weird you said that. I was listening to a song I listened to before I moved here, and I used to dream of living here, and I would listen to it. And it didn't, I wanted to feel what I felt back then, but I couldn't get myself there. So do you struggle with, like, do you still want to feel like a little
bit
of that?
No, it just happens. Just to kinda,
so you actually felt the
feeling. Yeah, it happens to me all the time. I realized it. I don't remember when I first realized it, but I remember like being in the car and listening to my 90s or my 80s and being like, God, the days I listened to this, I dreamed of being here in LA. I dreamed of doing this. I dreamed of driving this car. I dreamed of all these moments, and now they've happened. So now when you're listening to it now with all of that kind of knowledge, it's so surreal and it's so friggin' cool.
Yeah.
So dreams do come true, guys.
And make sure think about the fact that when you're listening to songs today, those memories, whatever's happening right now, those songs in a few years will evoke memories from right now.
Yeah. Like there are certain songs that I listen to and I'm like, oh gosh, I just remember like a dirty, smelly Dunkin' Donuts moment, or a waitressing moment, or, you know, there's certain jobs where you're like, they were very repetitive and you were like, oh God, it just reminds me of that time. And
yeah.
So I have those specific songs, but then I have the other ones, and then I just feel like I seem like a cougar or something riding around in my car blasting this stuff. Like, they're probably like, oh gosh, who is this? Like, if Kylie Jenner was in her like G-Wagon next to me, right? And she's listening to me listen to this stuff, she's probably looking at me like I'm an alien, right?
I mean, maybe. I don't know, because I've listened to oldies my whole life since I was like 5 years old, so I think it makes you cool. It's like, I love seeing like a hot, beautiful person that's like, just has all this knowledge about things. You're just like, oh my gosh, like that stuff I thought wasn't that cool. But now I think it's really cool because she's doing it.
Oh, well,
so
thanks.
Now you're making this stuff cool.
You're making
cool.
Me feel better.
You're making it cool.
No, guys, I get like embarrassed in my car sometimes with my musical choices. Because Lauren, you know, it's all over the board.
It is. But that's what's so great about them.
And
has ADD.
Ooh.
Your music list. For sure. Has ADD. It's like everywhere.
Yeah, it's all over the board. But it's funny because like I used to jam like to my Greek music, and I swear like then I just feel like people are judging me.
Those are some of the best Instagram stories that you've ever posted though. Whenever you and Dimitri are in the car singing Greek music,
yeah,
it's so fun.
I did it recently when I was at the Royal Rumble. He put his Bluetooth speaker in his suitcase, and we were jamming to Mariah Carey all through the hotel, all the way outside to valet in the car.
Awesome.
It was in the trunk, and we're still jamming to Mariah, so it was funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I got done. I was hugging the suitcase and singing
so cool.
And performing with her.
When other people see you do that, though, they feel more comfortable in being themselves. So I think it's actually a service by putting yourself out there in that way.
Why do you say that? Because she's a celebrity that's doing it, or just people doing it?
In general. I think people who look judgmental are shocked at how okay you are with just being
being
yourself
free.
And yeah. be free. And yeah. I think it's an envy there. It's not totally. So much a judgment as it is, oh, how are they doing that? And then if they really look deep inside, it's because they're not comfortable in being themselves in that way mm-hmm. and maybe are a little envious.
Interesting. Okay. I'll take it. Hey, I'll take all of it, guys. Of course, we are back on the Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast. Thank you guys for downloading us and listening to us. We love bringing you this free, fresh source of news, inspiration, fun, plus the best of our SiriusXM shows from the week. Our hope is that you will love us enough here that you'll want to join us every day for our fun, crazy days on the show. You can find us here every Friday on Apple Podcasts. And as I said, we do this for free. So we please hope that you will help us out by subscribing, rating, and reviewing our show. Telling a friend would be great. Be like, yo, I found this real cool podcast. It's with Maria and it's fun.
Oh my God.
It's hilarious. But yeah, hopefully you guys will want to join us every day on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109. Weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern time. But yeah, really love doing this. And it was funny. I was at an event last night and this woman was like, so what are you doing now? And it's such a funny question because normally I'm loaded with like a million things. And I'm like, not much. She's like, what do you mean? I go, I don't want to do a lot right now. I'm like, I'm doing my radio show and my podcast and I live to do it and I love it. And it was funny. I had a realization this week on the show. You might even hear it in the podcast today where I talked about my goals and dreams growing up and it was always to have a talk show. But I always envisioned like an Oprah talk show on mm-hmm. TV, which now those, of course, don't really necessarily work anymore. And I was like, wait, I have one here. Like I had that realization here on the show.
Wait, that's so interesting.
Duh, oh,
so
right?
How old are you when you started to have that dream? If you had a guess.
Oh, gosh. I don't know. I feel like at 13, I knew I wanted to come out to Los Angeles and I knew I wanted to be in this business. I didn't know what form it was going to be because I had a lot of different desires. Like I wanted to act. I wanted to, you know, be Joan London. I wanted to, you know, I wanted to do everything, which is exactly what I ended up doing. A little bit of everything.
Yeah. Yeah. That is so interesting that you just like realized right
just
now
realized
that you
it this
made
week.
Your dream
I was like, oh,
come
duh.
True.
Yeah. I've been doing a talk show. Duh.
That's cool. I want to wake up one day and be like, oh, what I wanted, I have right now.
And I didn't even realize
that's
it.
That's cool. It's like finding money like in your pocket.
Yes.
It's like, oh, shit.
I do that all the time.
That's
awesome.
Know,
I found these two rings the other day in a purse I haven't used in so long. Oh. And I feel like I've gone through all my purses to find stuff and I found them and I was like, whoa.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's like a gift all over again.
Totally.
And money, of course, is always good to
that's
find.
That's always fun.
So I wanted to talk about some favorite shows quickly before we get to our great interviews. We have a great interview with Heather Graham and Angela Kinsey today. They talk about their new movie, Half Magic. We also have Michelle Mache, who is a soul coach, and then Andre Seltzer, a medical medium. It's going to be a fun show, but I'm really obsessed with Waco right now. I remember vaguely when this was going down, but they had portrayed these people in such a bad light. And this is really showing them in a different light. Are you guys watching this?
No, I'm looking it up now to see.
Oh, it's so good.
So what's it about?
It's about, oh gosh, I don't even know what you call them. Do you call them polygamists? Or do you, it was like, ooh. They thought they were a cult and David Koresh was their leader. And, you know, he's having sex with all the women and having kids with all of them. It's like a kind of crazy. And he thought he was like spoken to by Jesus and, you know, God and whatever. And I love these shows that they're putting on now where you're digging into these like historical events and getting to see more behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Like Versace. Obsessed.
Wait, really? You like
with
it?
Versace.
Okay.
It's amazing.
Oh, Ashley,
really?
You're going to die.
Okay.
Andrew Cunanan is the evil Pat. Evil Pat, my old assistant. Oh. My old assistant Pat. Who this would be the evil version
so
of
like
him.
So like the upside down version of him.
Yeah, but like it's crazy because when you watch it, he's like super educated, so smart, handsome, like such a charmer, and yet he's a serial killer.
Well, they always end up being the most charming, they say.
Right?
Yep.
Exactly. So anybody charming in your lives right now, like P.S., yep. We know so many of these people, we just don't know.
Exactly.
It's so
until
creepy.
Until we do.
We don't know until we know. So yeah. Everyone be careful.
Yeah, exactly.
Out there. But there's so many great movies. We saw Call Me By Your Name, mm-hmm. That was excellent because I'm hosting the red carpet for Live with Kelly and Ryan. So I had to catch up. I saw last weekend that. I saw Mudbound, which was amazing. And then there was another one. I still can't remember what that third one
Shape
was.
Shape of Water?
Shape of Water. Oh, my God. I know you didn't like
one. Yeah.
You thought that was weird.
Weird, yeah.
I mean, yes, having sex with a monster is weird. But there have been other movies that have explored sex with weird creatures, right?
Really?
Yeah. I'm sure somewhere out there, there's got to be a division of the horror world where that's what's going
on. Have you seen Phantom Thread yet?
Not yet. I'm dying to.
I really cannot wait to hear what you think of it.
Yeah.
Everybody I know has said something negative about it, but I could not get enough of it. I didn't want it to end.
Yeah.
So I'm curious what you were.
Yeah. I didn't like Shape of Water at first. I wanted to hate on it. And then I just completely fell in love with the story. I thought it was beautiful.
Wow.
So girls, you agreed?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know you guys both thought it was weird, but I was like weirdly turned on by it. I thought it was excellent and beautiful.
Okay,
big confession. Big confession. On that note, guys, we're going to take a break. It's getting hot in here. No, I'm kidding. We're going to take a break. When we come back, you're going to hear Heather Graham and Angela Kinsey.
I've always loved going one-on-one with people.
Welcome back to Conversations with Maria Menounos.
Guys, I have two very talented women as my next guests. One is an actress and comedian best known for shows like The Office and Haters, Back Off. The other is an actress, writer, director, and producer known for movies like Boogie Nights, Austin Powers, and The Hangover. Now they're both here to talk about their new film, Half Magic. Please welcome Heather Graham and Angela Kinsey. Woo! It's like girl power. I've got three girls in, well, four of us in here. I've got you guys. And then there's Nick.
Hey. I have boobies. I mean, it counts kind of.
Oh, my God, Nick. No, why are you going to bring up your boob problem?
Girls. Show us your boobs.
No. Oh, my God.
You really don't want to see it.
Oh, my God. Next movie, Heather. You got a casting right there.
Come on.
So, first of all, I have to say, I'm watching this and you, has there just been like did we delete time in between Austin Powers and here? Because you look exactly the same, if not better. How does that even happen?
God, you're so nice. I love you. I mean, you're incredible.
Angela, like, seriously.
What about you? You are so hot. How can you are just the most beautiful. Yes. I can't. I'm just like blown away. You probably aren't even like.
You guys are all beautiful.
You're so gorgeous. It's hard to look at you.
Thank you.
Heather is like timeless beauty, though. She's timeless.
No, but she is, and you're captivating. Like, your eyes
so
in
nice.
This movie.
Thank
I'm like,
you.
I'm like, did she was the director, so she probably made sure she looked real good.
I lit myself really well. No, we had these great DP and lighting. They were like bouncing light off of dirty mirrors. I'm like, we got ladies in this movie. Try to make us look as good as
you
possible.
You did. You said to me, you're like, Angela, we're going to look amazing. I'm going to make sure we're lit great.
Wait, no, but seriously, like, that's an issue. I don't know if you girls find this, but wherever I go, usually my makeup artist, Dimitri, is like, he's gifted with lighting, and he'll go over and he'll be like, oh, my love, to whoever the DP is, you know better, but I wish maybe a little more light for Maria. And and like, you sit there and you're like, guys, do you not see I look like shit? Like, how is it your job to make us look good?
Oh,
so the benefit of having Heather behind the director's chair is, Angela, you're probably like, shit, I'm going to look good. I'm never going to have to
look
worry.
Like,
she
did look good, right?
Very
she
sweet.
Looks sexy.
I'm like, please don't make me look like the Crypt Keeper.
Oh, my God.
Blow it out. Blow it all out, please.
I mean, that's the thing, like, women don't realize. Like, it's funny. Whenever someone asks me, like, to take a selfie, if I'm at, like, an event, they're like, can I get a picture? I'm like, yeah, turn this way.
Oh, I do that every time. I'm like, let's find our light, baby. Come on, let's find it.
Yeah. But I think, like, GP, General Pop, doesn't know that.
Yeah.
Well, and they would be so much happier with pictures of themselves if they knew to just turn towards the light so the light hits you and softens every fine line.
Oh, yeah.
Good light. It's better. You can take the place of makeup if you have good lighting.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Seriously. So, okay, so to the movie, and Ashley, feel free to interject. I know you guys can't see Ashley, but she's beautiful as well.
Oh, no. Nothing like you guys.
Hi, Ashley.
Feel free to interject at any point. Okay. But, you know, this is a labor of love to make a movie, especially, you know, you wrote, directed, produced, starred in it. And I heard it took 7 years.
Yeah. I mean, I feel a little bit like I had a baby. I've never actually had a real baby, but I feel like this movie's my baby. And now my baby's going to school. And I'm like, I hope my baby has a good first day at school.
I hope everybody likes my baby.
No. So February 23rd's the day, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a labor of love. And I just, you know, in my heart, I just thought, I want to empower women and share the helpful things I've learned in my life about empowering myself.
And so you shared it through the movie.
Yeah.
Explain to everyone what you wanted to share most and why they'll want to see this.
Okay. Well, one of the things I think I did was that I took a lot of things that upset me in my life and found the humor in them, which I find is such a gift in life. Because if you think about things too seriously, it can get pretty dark. But if you think about things with a sense of humor, then life is fun. Yep. So I wanted to share my journey about sexuality, that I grew up religious and I felt a sense of fear and shame around sexuality, and how I feel that I got over that and saw my sexuality as a beautiful spiritual thing. And I wanted to share my journey with like sexism in Hollywood.
Ooh, and boy, yeah.
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 Which is timely. Basically, a girl
it's
who
so
has a
crazy,
sexual harassment
of it. The timing of this movie is really just like, it's, I guess, whatever. It's just meant to be, I guess. Yeah.
And I guess I wanted to share like women and how we feel about ourselves and our looks, and just that we can just decide that we look great. And then that's it, basically.
That really spoke to me too, I think, just like learning to just give yourself a break and love yourself. And, you know, and I think that really spoke to me for the character I played. And, you know, I had been married a really long time and then all of a sudden was a single mom. And I didn't know. I mean, the last time I was single, I had a flip phone and a beeper, you know, or I had a beeper, then I had the flip phone, like to really date myself. And so it was scary out there for me. And I had lost a lot of my confidence. And I've never been the type of gal that like would walk into a room and think I own it. You know, I'm not that person. I'm like, I'm going to be over here by the snacks.
You don't feel that, they don't feel it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And I think your movie was all about just learning to love yourself and women helping women, which I love. I love when women help each other out.
Heather,
so
you were initially had a lot of resistance with this film. I mean, a lot of people were telling you when you were trying to get it made over these past 7 years that, you know, you needed to make it more sexy, or you needed to make it less about men having a misogynistic character in the movie or whatever. So you had a lot of pushback. Those people that initially pushed back, have you heard from any of them now?
Well, it's funny because then the world just changed the past few months, right? Yeah. Now everyone's like, let's empower more female filmmakers. And I think, you know, at the Golden Globes, every woman wore black. And, you know, when Natalie Portman presented the Best Director Award, she's like, and the all-male nominees.
Yes, yes. That was amazing.
Because, you know, there's like a 7% female directors in Hollywood films. Like, it's so low. But it's right. brought light to that and it's brought attention to that. So I now think people are trying to be more politically correct, which is good. Well,
it's all changing. And I feel like it's funny, even with this show I've been talking about, I get pitched so many female-led shows and filmmakers and stuff. And we're just like silently, like, not silently in here. We're like, yes, more, more. Yeah. Take all their jobs. I love what's happening because we're just basically toppling everything. And it's like, yeah, now it's our time. Now you guys come beg for jobs and you be scared if you're going to get the job or not. Like, not that we would do that because we're benevolent leaders.
Right.
But, you know, I think it's time. And it's time for us to tell our stories. And that's why I think it's so great that you had the courage to do this, because it's not easy. And I honestly think that at this point in life, like, you have to go out and take what you want.
Yeah, like write your own.
You got to make it happen.
It's like having the support of other female journalists makes a huge difference, like for you to support it. Or we just got the pick of the week by the Alliance of Female Journalists. It's like women supporting women saying, oh, we want to see more female stories being told. We're supporting the women telling their stories.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You wore a lot of hats, obviously, Heather, casting director, writer, director, and starring in this. Which one was the most challenging for you?
You know, getting the financing was by far the most challenging. Shooting was like a dream. I got to work with people like Angela, who's hilarious. She just is so funny. She thinks of the funniest things to say. It's just like every day, it's like joyful being around such a naturally hilarious person.
Well, Heather was very giving. I mean, you were very giving. She wrote this great script, but then definitely was like, Angela, if you have an idea or if you want to improvise in the moment, and then just let me kind of run with things. And then, she was a phenomenal director. I felt so taken care of, and I felt given this, like, safe place where you can create. I loved that.
So that's awesome. Wow. I love that. I love, again, but you see, like, you're supporting each other too, which is so cool.
It helps me. It makes me look good. I'm like, I wish I would have written that. She came up with some good stuff.
Oh my gosh.
You guys both had sex scenes in these in this movie. And Angela, I want to ask, because with so many predators on sets, and I don't know if you've experienced them personally, I believe Heather has. James Toback. how comfortable was it to have a sex scene where you had sweet Heather directing you, who didn't want to take advantage of you and hurt you?
Well, I mean, prior to this movie, the closest thing to a sex scene I'd have was probably hooking up with Dwight Schrute in the warehouse. Mm-hmm. So, that, you know, obviously being on a TV show, I felt always very comfortable and protected and everything. And so I was nervous about this. This is a real step out of my comfort zone. And part of the reasons why I wanted to do the role, I myself had, I'd been in a relationship a long time and I was newly single. And I don't know, I just think I was feeling all of that about wanting to like find myself and re-believe in myself and all that. And so Heather, actually, we went to lunch and you were like, now, Ange, you know, here's how these scenes are going to play out. Are you comfortable? I want to make sure you feel taken care of. So she, before we ever even got to the set, had already invested in me and taking care of me. And that meant so much and gave me the confidence. And then,
Movie actually helped you find your sexy, probably.
Well, I mean, a little bit. I've never been super comfortable with, like, being the sexy lady, you know, like, see, even then I had to make a joke of it. I'm not sexy, you know, like, it's not appropriate. I think I'm just really Southern and I'm just like, but so that was a real just fun journey for me. And Heather was so caring. And then when we did the scenes, you know, there was no one on set. It was just like Heather and just our camera guy. It was really mm-hmm. closed. And I knew I was going to look great because I was lit up.
Yeah.
and then, you know, Jason Lewis and Thomas Patrick Lennon are both so kind. And there was zero, like, ickiness from any of the guys. And they just were there to be my scene partner and to take care of me. And that felt
good,
really
first
great.
First experience.
Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah. I think this is it for me. I think, like, because I did
one.
I told Heather, I was like, when I saw it on screen, I was like, oh my God, it's my butt.
A lot of my male friends.
We're out of time, unfortunately. I wish you guys were here for an entire episode. You have to come in a studio sometime with me. You guys can find Heather Graham on Instagram and Twitter at I'm Heather Graham. I can't even talk anymore. And the movie Half Magic in theaters, video on demand, and digital HD on February 23rd. You guys are going to have a great time watching it. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome anytime. We're a girl posse here.
Let's do it.
Other
girl power.
I love it. Thank you.
All right. Take care, guys. Be nice people. Make good choices. And be present.
Hope you enjoyed that interview. Now you're going to hear soul coach Michelle Mache share how to draw what you desire into your life and live from your soul.
I've always loved going one-on-one with people.
Welcome back to Conversations with Maria Menounos.
My next guest is an author, hypnotherapist, podcast host, and soul coach. Today, I've never heard of a soul coach before. Today, she's going to teach us how to get in touch with our higher self and start living from the soul. Please welcome Michelle Mache.
Great to be here, everyone.
Thanks for being here. So tell us a little bit about soul coaching. Like, I've heard of hypnotherapists. I've heard of mediums. I've heard of all these things. I've never heard of a soul coach. And so explain to the audience what a soul coach is and kind of what you do.
Okay, your soul is your design. If you think of when you're building a house, you have an architect that does a design. When you're connecting with your soul, you're connecting with your design of your life, how you're really meant to live your life. And many people, because of wounding or what they've gone through, you know, growing up or early childhood things, actually get pulled off track. You know, little kids are very connected to their soul. So it's like all this wounding, all this social should, you have to, mm-hmm. you know, follow this rule book that doesn't really ever work, overlays. And so you lose touch with the truth of who you are, your authentic self. And so I help people uncover that.
Sounds like a lot of digging.
It is. It's fun, though. It's a treasure hunt.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's I like that.
It's a treasure hunt. Yeah. So your soul purpose is there, your destiny, what truly fulfills you, the way to have the most love in your life, the most abundance. And so I really help people connect into their soul, realign, clear the debris, and realign to their soul.
How long generally does it take to clear the debris?
Depends on which debris.
I'm asking for a friend. Yeah, no, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
You know what? It's quicker now. It's quicker now, just because everything is quicker. And, it, you know, we create better processes or better programs to help people. But it depends, you know, where people are at and how much they – and if they listen. Because the whole key to connecting to your soul is trusting your intuition, learning how to connect into your intuition, your gut knowing. Because that's like part of your inner GPS. It's leading you to the truth of who you are and living that expression.
And is it easier and quicker for you because you also are an intuitive?
Yes.
So and I've always kind of cut to the chase.
I do.
She does. But you know what I love about her too is that she teaches you how to find your own truth. And then like, because sometimes like, you know, these people that are like people that are the guru and you can't make a decision without them. She really helps you find that. So like if you're in the middle of Antarctica with not a cell phone, you know how to tune in to like find your own compass.
Huh. Yeah. So, I'm big on tools.
Yeah.
Even if you go to my website. Yeah. Because I don't, it's not about me. And I don't
like, there's no life toolkit. Like, people need a life toolkit. I remember when I went to my first Tony Robbins seminar, I was like, I was crying and I like chatted with him off to the side. I'm like, I just need tools
to deal
with these psycho people. Yeah.
But you need your own authentic toolkit that's right for your own soul, right? And that's what she helps. Yeah. I mean, I can't say
Well, there's general stuff. Like on my website, there's general stuff that you can do, soulplayground.life.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I was like looking for the paper. Well, I'm like, where do we have this written down?
Give the website. So because there's general tools that help everyone. But what I suggest to people is that over time you make them your own. You know, you adjust, you tweak and make it your own. And then it's really going to work for you because no two people are alike. I mean, the basics were alike. It's like working out. You go to the gym, but not everybody's the same. Mm-hmm. You have to adjust your workout program to your body type, metabolism, your likes.
Yeah.
Same thing with the soul program. And that's why I call them soul path programs. It's spiritual integration and connecting to your soul. So your spirit, here's a good way to look at it. If your soul is your uniqueness, what makes you unique, your gifts, your talents, like the sun. I look like it. It's like you're the sun of your life, right? And your spirit or spiritual nature is what we call in Sanskrit, the prana or chi, life animating energy. So, you know, like when they say you go to like a football game or something, there's a lot of spirit there. So it's the life force energy and you feel the spirit. So the spirit guides you through kind of a flow. And we all know that when you're feeling really good in your life, right? Mm-hmm. You have a lot of energy.
Yeah.
Vitality, right? So that's your spiritual essence. But the soul is who you are.
Interesting.
She did, I did a workshop, a teleworkshop. Called Liberate Core Beliefs.
Well, it's called Liberate because I found, I mean, I think it was 1999 or 2000, I developed this program called Five-Step Emotional Clearing Process through being a hypnotherapist and then also through my intuition. Because I thought to myself, I had all these people coming, I was doing past life regression.
Really?
I do past life regression.
So you've read Many Lives, Many Masters.
I have.
Isn't that amazing?
I love that book.
It is amazing.
It's one of my favorites.
I know.
Yeah. I've had past life regressions where people have later gone to the paper and seen exactly what came up or the name. Anyway, I digress.
So cool.
Yeah. So back then it was all these different patterns. And then just recently I realized through a bunch of research and then I work with guides that it's one pattern, one core belief that holds you back. And it's phenomenal because it shapes your whole world. And you know what I found, Maria? It's something that's instinctual. This is why it's so core and it's overlaid. It's a time in your life, and it's usually between infancy to 2.5 years of age. That's we regress people back to that age and they see it. It's something instinctually that you needed to do or wanted to do and couldn't do or were made to do. And what happens over time, it's short. You keep repeating the pattern. And it puts you more and more off alignment of your soul. And it actually starts short-circuiting your spiritual energy.
Mine, she led us through this thing, this meditation. And I literally went back and saw myself in the crib with my arms up, crying, like waiting for somebody to get me. And I was like, nobody came and got me. And my core belief is I'm not allowed to have, like, no, my needs will never be answered. I'm not allowed to have needs. Nobody will ever be there for me. And I've lived from that place.
Whoa. And so then if she's lived from that place, let's talk about how that's limited her, right?
Well, I do everything myself. I'm independent to a fault. I mean, which is good in some levels.
Which also probably plays into your love life, right?
Like, yeah.
You've
yes.
not allowed a man in because you never thought he's really going to be able to meet your needs, yes. right?
Exactly.
So
exactly.
We're like really going in and doing deep work on that because it's going to allow me to have what really my truth is, which is to allow somebody to be there for me, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, to really receive that.
That's so cool.
And here's the thing is, it's like that won't go away, the independence. You bring in the complementary. And I actually developed.
So how can you not change that? Because she became that because of what happened to her, right? But then how can you change the core issue instead? Like, that seems like it's even harder.
It's not. You just start bringing in the complementary. And you do this tapping on the point that goes to the meridian that goes directly to the brain. You create a new neural pathway.
So I sit there in my car and I'm like, even though.
And you're tapping on your finger.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I have needs. I am still lovable. Even though I have needs, I will survive. And you like tap it in, and then I say a couple other things.
Marie, I got to tell you, because I did it myself. It changes your whole worldview. I actually, my eyesight got better, my peripheral vision. Because when you have a limiting belief, it limits everything, even how you view life, right?
Yeah.
Also, since I've been just doing it without even trying, like I've brought in these amazing people, this whole new group of like women that just are like, I've got your back, you've got my back, and, you know, even just some new friendships and work situations and, like, you know, guys, that are, you know, more, it's more life-fulfilling.
Wow. So do you feel like you have more male or female clients? I'm curious. Like, are men able to tap into this, or is this too foo-foo for them? Right?
I have more women, but I've sometimes had more men. But I think overall, it is more women, and then women bring the guys in.
Like, I don't think I've ever met someone that's done as many things in one package. Like, you do tapping now as well, and the hypnotherapy, the intuitive readings.
Transpersonal psychologist. I'm trained shaman.
This what? Has been my, yeah. Holy, what?
No, she's like
you're like
so
one-stop
much.
Shop. No, damn.
Like, she uses all those modalities to bring it into her soul coaching.
This has been my whole life. You know, I was born psychic or intuitive. And then, but, you know, as a kid, maybe I would predict somebody getting sick or somebody's pet would die or something.
You could see health issues?
Yes.
How accurate were you with health issues?
Overall tested, I'm 97% accurate.
Wow. Because I've had different, like, I remember Tyler Henry did a reading for me. And it's hard when it's on TV, too. Like, you never know. But he said someone on my mom's side was going to have a stroke, but they were going to survive. And then 2 weeks later, my mom, it seemed like she had a stroke, but really she went to the hospital and she ended up with a brain tumor. And so it came in stroke-like symptoms. So yeah. I kind of connected it, but I'm like, dude, you could have told me it might have been a brain tumor. No, I'm kidding.
Right. Well, I think language, you got to just, you know, figure out how to say things because sometimes things look a certain way and they're another way.
Yeah. So then you might not trust what you're seeing in a sense, right? Like if you saw a brain tumor, would you be like, I can't tell if she has a brain tumor?
I've actually seen brain tumors before and did say that. Yeah. Yeah. I felt cancer before, AIDS.
But how do you say it? Do you say like in a way that they can handle it or do you?
Yeah. How do you, if someone has something really life-threatening, what do you do?
Maybe you should go see your doctor.
Oh, I always say that. I'll say I see a man. It depends if they already kind of know something's going on. Like the person that had AIDS knew, and I started describing, and they said, do I have it? And I said, yes. And then I said, AIDS. So I have to intuitively see what the person can handle. But I've seen masses, you know, I've seen also where people could be going to get sick, but they can perhaps stop something.
Yeah. She told me that.
Yeah.
My adrenals, you know, I blew out my adrenals and she's just like, you need to slow down, Lori. Like, you know, you're like your adrenals and they're kind of your hormones. She said there's something going on and it's like, pay attention to this because it could get really bad. And I listened to her and I restructured my life.
Wow.
Yeah. Cause we don't always have to get sick. Sometimes we do. Yeah. And there's no judgment on that because a lot of times it's not just learning for us, the people around us a lot of times. Mm-hmm. The illness a lot of times is more for the people around us.
What do you mean?
They learn, you know, maybe you need more help with something or people get more empathetic or more compassionate.
You get it's more nurtured.
You get more nurtured. It's, you know, it's a tool. It's like everything else. It's a tool from spirit. It's growth and learning and it's part of this planet.
Yeah. It's like when you were always the nurturer. Now, like my mom was the nurturer. I was the nurturer. So now you get it back.
Exactly.
Interesting. Okay.
It opens it up for you to, do that.
What do you see for me? Am I healthy finally?
Yeah. What you're getting there. I feel you're
the soul.
You're starting to come into your soul alignment and getting your soul's purpose. And like on my book I wrote to you, because I tuned in this morning and I thought what I got the message was is everything is going to be lining up for this moment. And this is like the next two to three years. I feel that everything that you've been doing is going to be coming together. There's this amazing convergence. And I see more production around you and I see shows where you're actually more on location. Like trying things out, almost like taking people on this tour, this mystery tour of things that you're going through that you find that are interesting. But I do see more location.
Interesting.
And you could have, you know, I don't know if you have it already, but like a production company or like maybe a channel or something of interesting programming.
Mm-hmm.
But it's. It's going to be great. It's like what you've lived for.
Yeah.
It's coming together. Like the tool that you are, what you've studied, what you've learned and all your experience from being in media is now coming into this bigger picture.
Very cool.
And I do see a feature. I'm hearing that now, the guides. Some kind of film or documentary. So it's not going to be just shows. There's also a book, but there is going to be like a pet project of yours that I do feel is what longer format, I guess you call it.
Yeah. Very cool.
You know, what too reminds me of is, you know, that Steve Jobs quote, you can only connect the dots looking backwards, not forwards. That sets you up to align you to.
I got goosebumps.
So like everything in your life sets you up.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make sense until you get there. And then you're like, oh, that's why this happened. And that's why I learned that. And that's why I did that show. And that's why because it's lining up.
Yeah.
I have chills right now too.
So cool.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
You know, people limit themselves on what they can be. Like you were a model but you're like, but I'm all these other things too. I feel like, you know, that happens to so many people because I remember my old assistant, Katie Kirk, went up to her once and she goes, and she was, you know, working for me and she's like, she's doing too many things. And then she goes, wait a second, you know what? No, tell her she should be doing what she's doing. Kind of like something like that. Like at first she was like, no. I remember in church growing up, there was this woman, one woman who pulled me aside. She said, you're doing too many different things and you need to just focus on one thing. And I'm like, but I'm a Gemini. I can't. Like, I want to do everything. And what did I go off and do? I did everything. And so I feel like anyone who's trying to put you in a box, like, it's probably more because of their own insecurities or they just don't see a path where you can do all these different things.
Or you put yourself in a box, I think, because, like I was just saying on the break, too, like, here I am, not married, you know, don't have children, and don't live in this gigantic house, but I have this tree house in the woods. I love my career. I have the best friends in the world. And my life is so abundant and rich and I help mother the mothers and bring babies in a different way. And it doesn't look like what society says. Society says this girl shouldn't be shouldn't be happy. She doesn't have the things that she's supposed to have. Yet I am so happy and my life is so rich and full.
I'm all about a treehouse. If Kevin didn't want a screening room and studios and, you know, all these things, I'd be in a treehouse too.
But oh my God. It feeds my soul. And it's like, my life is not, I don't limit myself and I don't feel like, and I can be this and I can be that. And I do like to do, like, it makes me I'm multidimensional.
I think that, you know, the one thing I have found is that where you put your focus, as Tony Robbins will say, where focus goes, energy flows. Mm-hmm. So if you're dividing yourself too much, you might do everything a little bit mediocre, mm-hmm. right? So you have your things that you're super strong at that you put most of your focus in, but it doesn't mean you can't do all kinds of other things. Just don't expect incredible, you know, A-list results on everything you do. Know Absolutely. That you're doing those other things to kind of feed your soul, not just like, you know, I didn't expect to be, you know, perfect at all of these other things. I was like, I just love doing all of them. And so whatever happens, happens.
And you put them under your umbrella too. There's an umbrella. Like I do pregnancy, fertility, mm-hmm. new mom stuff. But I bring, like Michelle does the soul coaching, but she does so much in that umbrella. Like I have the umbrella, but I do so much in that umbrella.
That makes you happy. Yeah.
That makes me
and
happy.
Then when I would get overwhelmed, I would make a list of everything I was doing. And then I would put what my goal was. And if my goal was a talk show, which back in the day, my goal was a talk show, which I actually ended up, as I'm thinking about it now, I ended up with it. My goal was a talk show. So I was like, you know what? Acting isn't going to get me there. So this has been fun, but I'm going to remove this. And then I would just draw lines of the things that would take me from the things that I was doing that would take me to my goal. And anything that didn't, I removed. And that helped de-stress me and kind of take a little bit of pressure off. Because you can't do everything,
no.
even if it is fun.
And I think sometimes outside sources tell you, you should be doing this or you would be good at this.
Yeah.
And you might be good at it, but maybe it's not that fulfilling or like for you wasn't leading you to your ultimate goal.
Yeah. Or like I remember in college, I was going to start playing basketball. And then I realized, I'm like, wait, where is this going to get me? I'm no star basketball player. I'm not going to get, you know, any kind of scholarships with this and in college. I'm not going to play pro. So I was like, okay, that gets removed because that's every single day for multiple hours. It's going to suck up all my time and energy. So you have to be smart about what you're going to attack.
Did you want to play it? Like, was it like a passion?
It was fun. Yeah, I loved playing basketball, but I also loved all the other extracurricular activities I was participating in, too. It's just, it was just like a give. Mm-hmm. We do have some callers that we want to get to. So Sarah in St. Louis, thanks for calling in. Her birthday is June 21st, which makes her a Gemini by a hair.
Yeah, she's on. Yeah. Yeah. Depending Sarah, are you on there? The whole site.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Hi. What's your question? Let's open the channel with a question. Sarah,
well, it's kind of funny. I don't really have a particular question, but over the past 2 weeks, I've had several opportunities to have my tarot card read or palms read or something. So I just felt drawn to call in.
Okay, very cool.
Maybe just looking for some guidance, I guess.
The thing that I get with you, I'm hearing new beginnings and turning points, and it is a time for you to take some chances and branch out, start some new things. It's interesting. You're calling, it's synchronicity. It's the right time. We're talking about doing different things just before you called in. I feel for you right now, it's about opening up because I do feel there's some, are you thinking about wanting to make some changes? You know, and let me just say something, because a lot of times when we want to make change, it happens internally first. Like little stirrings before we go in a new direction. And I feel you're in the stirring phase. But you need to change it up a bit. Does that make sense?
It does. I kind of feel like there's something big going to happen, but I have no idea what or, you know, what to do about it or where to go with it, I guess.
Okay. And Sarah, you're bringing up a really good point because this is the way our soul speaks to us, or our higher, through our higher self. And that's just the expanded part of us that's beyond our ego. It gives us these little stirrings. It gives us these little ideas. Try something new. Because it has to be fun on the planet. If we knew everything all at once, there'd be no mystery. There'd be no unfolding. So what I would say for you is just start trying new things. And maybe that's even clearing out closets, moving furniture around, watching less TV or watching different things on TV, driving a different way home. Just start opening up to the new. and follow the openings. What interests you, what opens for you, that's going to lead you to your next level of unfolding and soul connection.
Okay.
Thanks, Sarah. Thank you. We're going to go to Terry in Nashville. Terry's birthday is December 25th, and she's got some questions for you. Hi, Terry.
Hey, Terry.
Hi. So my question is, I've been divorced 21 years. I raised two great kids by myself. They're both now grown and thriving, and I've had a successful career. So basically a lot of success except in my personal life. Just have had no luck in that 21 years, or obviously in my marriage and dating relationships. It just kind of makes me sad. I'm not sure if I'll be single forever and just should accept that, or if there is something in the future for me now that I'm an empty nester.
Okay, first thing, don't accept what you don't want. Because if you
want it. I love that. That's a great line. Yeah. Don't accept what you don't want.
Yeah. Because if you want it, it's coming from your soul. I got goosebumps. I feel relationship for you next year, but the first thing I hear, you got to go on a vacation. Treat yourself. Start with a spa if you want. But you need to go on a vacation to shake up the energy and just be open and flirt and wear sexy lingerie and just be your perky self. Yes, you're meant to be in relationship. You were finishing up a lot of stuff. I do feel the divorce, major disappointment in that marriage, and that's been weighing on you. So shake up the energy, flirt, you know.
You know what's so funny as you're saying this, and I was thinking something, and I just realized it's connecting to what you're saying. So, Terry, are you more masculine? Would you think
I'm
energy more masculine?
10. Yeah, I mean, I'm 5'10", played sports. I work out 5 days a week. So, yeah, I'm in sales. I'm kind of a dominant type A woman, but I don't look masculine.
What did you do in your career?
I'm in sales. I sell computer technology.
Yeah. So I feel like when I go to Tony seminars, Tony talks about masculine and feminine energy. And a lot of women, we take on a lot of masculine energy because we have to survive in this man's world. But also that's where we get respected in a man's world, right?
Yes.
Is if we're one of the guys and we're strong and we can handle anything and we're tough and you're never going to like take us down. And so all of that energy helped you raise great kids because you were so focused and so type A about it all, but you haven't nurtured yourself.
Exactly.
And what Michelle is saying about you bringing you back to your feminine is when you're going to find your guy.
That's right. Yeah.
I think that's
a rebalancing. And you know what, by the way, this is such a good point. So many of us have this. We have to shift.
Yeah.
You have to get into the receptive mode to draw in. Because one of the things is when we are overly masculine or yang, it's electrical energy and it actually repels what we want. You know, and this is good for anybody. If you want something, think about it, you know, write it out, have that intention, do some action steps, take a couple deep breaths and see a space in front of you to draw it to you. Because we actually don't get things in life, we draw them to us. We attract them.
And I think that's good advice because I've been kind of like, I'm just over it. It's too much trouble.
But that's why I want you to be playful.
Right.
I want you to be play. Because that sparkle,
Hey, you got to find that again.
Yeah.
You should do some sessions with Michelle.
Yes, call me. Soulplayground.life.
Seriously, I feel like that would help you kind of reconnect to who you were because I feel like you've lost your way because – you know, any kind of failure like hurts you. And if you have a failed marriage or whatever, and now you feel like a failure in love, like you're not, you haven't gotten to who you are in a while. So
reconnect with yourself.
Yeah.
The playful side is going to draw him in.
So how do I get your information?
Okay. Stay on the line and Nick will get your information and we'll give it to Michelle. In the meantime, I have to wrap up the show, but thank you for calling in and for all the other callers. I'm sorry we didn't get to your calls today. LauriBregman.com and Michelle's website is soulplayground.life. You can get her on social media at Michelle with one L. Meiche. We'll put this up on our website, Conversations with Maria Menounos. Or if you don't remember that, mariamenounos.com. Just click on the Sirius icon. And then Instagram for Lori Bregman is at lbreggy. And you can get Michelle's book, Meditation for Everyday Living and Transformation, on her website as well.
All right, guys, now it's time to learn how to heal your mind, body, and spirit from medical medium and energy healer Andre Seltzer.
I've always loved going one-on-one with people.
Welcome back to Conversations with Maria Menounos.
Okay, here we go. My next guest is a psychic medium and energy healer known as the Street Healer. Today is going to teach you how you can use your own intuition and energy to begin to heal yourself and your life. Please welcome Andre Seltzer.
Woo-hoo! Hello. Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Andre, where do you live in this world?
I actually tear myself between Woodland Hills and my main home in Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh, you're a valley boy. All right. Very nice. And so tell us a little bit about what you do exactly, because you're kind of blending medical intuition with your kind of energy work, right? I mean, there's like a lot of components to this.
Well, I'm a natural healer, so I didn't intentionally go out to become a healer or be involved in mediumship or intuitive work. I just noticed over a period of time, being a young child, that I could see things other people couldn't see. I was actually born with dyslexia and with autism. I'm slightly, I have Asperger's syndrome. So as a kid, it was a nightmare. Everything that I saw or felt, I was oversensitive. I'd cry a lot, had a hard time reading. So I learned to read people. So I started watching people's interactions. And I noticed that you could start to see before a person got sick. There were certain things that would happen or be said, or there were certain feelings. And the more that I trained that, the more I began to have this sense of a frequency or energy around a person. So what I've done is I've brought all that together. And over a period of the last few years, I've become a medium, I'm an intuitive, I do healing work. Although truly what I do is I inspire people to heal themselves.
So how do you inspire people to heal themselves? Because I feel like most people have the focus of a gnat. And I feel like if you're going to really heal yourself, you need a focus.
So
right?
If you meet somebody and you put your hand on their shoulder and you tell them to breathe and you've never met them before, and suddenly that person starts to want to breathe, as we had that experience earlier on, what happens is it becomes more real to them. So if you feel energy, you want to know more about it. So then I can step away and the person becomes curious about nutrition, become curious about what they're feeling. You make it real. So instead of just telling people about energy, you make them witness it within themselves. Because everybody's unique. Everybody is born with a gift. And if they can find that gift or they can find that ability, they can pretty much heal anything.
Hmm. So what's kind of like your typical person that comes to you? I know you go to people too with Street Healer. I love that. Hashtag Street Healer.
Well, it's not. It depends. I get a lot of referrals from hospitals and doctors. So the people that get sent to me are the rare cases when there's no answers. So a person sent to me where there's nowhere else to go. So what I do then is I look at it from a completely different perspective. I don't look at the medical records. I don't want to know what they've been diagnosed with. I want to see what I feel. And quite often I find things that have been missed. I was saying a few days ago, a lady came to see me. She had terrible hives, was sick for 2 years. And within 30 seconds, I found she was allergic to sulfur. Hmm. All the medication she was taking contained
sulfur.
Yeah.
So she was never getting better.
She's never getting better. She stopped taking sulfur. Within 2 weeks, hives went away and she got well. So it's just a process of, it's common sense, but it's also listening beyond what you're being told. And I think what's happening today is we tend to believe what we're being told.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I feel like that happened with my mom too. Like at one point they were like, her tumor is growing. This was like March, April of last year. And of course, I'm like, shit, what do we do now? Because when stage four brain cancer starts growing, that's like, you don't usually turn around from that. And I just prayed and I just was still. And I said, God, please tell me what I have to do next to her, for her.
Yeah.
And the next morning I woke up and I started doing research on my computer and somehow stumbled upon the side effects of chemo, which mirror the symptoms of regrowth. Exactly.
Exactly, yeah.
But I would have never thought about researching all of that. It just kind of happened. I just started looking at stuff. And I said to myself, I'm like, well, if you're looking at an MRI every month, and by the way, these are top doctors in the world.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that they're bad. I'm just saying it's looking at things a little differently. I said, if you're looking at an MRI every month and you can't tell me for sure that the mass we're seeing is tumor or inflammation or something else, how do you know that her tumor is growing and that it's not just side effects from the chemo that she's on? So that's when I decided to send her to a facility in Mexico to do a whole detox of her system so that we could see what it was. And since then, she's been stable or her tumor is shrinking. And so I'm like, you can't just listen to what everybody tells you. You have to just, I mean, I think for me, it's praying and just, and allowing the new universe to talk to you and to tell you what's next and what you should do and trusting in all of that. And, you know, I think that's probably what you do a lot of, right?
That's why I'm needed so much, because I work a lot with doctors. And let me tell you, the pressure they're under in the last several years has been tremendous to even do their job, between the red tape, between the politics,
between lawsuits, insurance.
So I have a lot of respect for them. But what they use me for is when they hit a wall and there's nowhere else to go, they send them to me because I'm going to look at it from a completely different perspective.
Yeah.
So you can't call yourself a healer because you sent your mom down to Mexico. But that is basically what I would do, is I'd look at something, I'd go, this doesn't make sense. And I would start looking deeper, and you turn up something like soft allergies or the fact it's a reaction. 90% of what I see is normally can be affected by simple changes.
Yeah. But that's the thing is being an investigator, right? Yeah. So you're being an investigator for sure. That's part of it. But then the other part of it is believing enough in your intuition and in your gut. Right.
Well, it's more than that. It's enjoying it. I love people. So I got delayed 3 hours flying out from Phoenix last night. And so instead of just sitting there complaining, I started talking to people. And there's one lady had a bad knee, so I helped her with a bad knee. And then there was a little boy I was talking to, and it turns out he's gluten intolerant. And I told the mom about that. So by the end of the time, in that 3 hours, I didn't even know I'd been delayed.
And yeah.
Helped all these people.
Yeah.
If you take an interest, if you stop, you look and you listen, not just with people, but with yourself. It's amazing what your body tells you. You could have a headache, and that could be, you could be allergic to tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
You might get a backache, and you could have the wrong chair, so change your chair. It's common sense. And I think this is what they did, our ancestors did. They used common sense before they applied a medication. We take a pain pill rather than look at the cause of it.
Wait, I just thought of something. So the TMJ issue, Tammy,
yes.
And we have a caller that's calling in about you, Andre, and I want to get to that as well. I wonder if, being an investigator in this moment, because I've been thinking about this for a minute, and I'm like, God,
I think my seat is really hot right now. I feel like...
I think I'm like...
The hot seat.
I think my pillow isn't right. And
that was one of the first things I looked at.
I've been a little bit lame about going and getting a new pillow, because I feel like it's the hardest thing to figure out is what pillow is right, because you're going to go try it in a store, but then it's not your bed. And then I'm like, what? How do you get the right pillow? But then I see that guy with the infomercials, the dream pillow guy or whatever. I've contemplated doing that too, but then I don't want to be a sucker for a TV ad. But I wonder if it's the pillow situation, because my neck still is like not 100%. Even after getting a million adjustments and
what
energy work.
What do you think
work?
About Maria's pillow?
Well, I think that you're not getting enough support. So you need something that's going to actually cradle the head.
Yeah.
And I would start off getting one of those things that you get, you know, the little bean
bags. Yeah.
And try sleeping with that.
Okay.
And if that helps the neck, then start looking at things that contain memory foam or a lower but have a curve to them. You tend to move around a lot when you're sleeping at night.
Yes.
And you're also grinding slightly, because I can see where on that right-hand side.
Mm-hmm.
So what you probably want to do is start getting jaw adjustments. A lot of chiropractors can actually physically adjust the jaw. And if you do that once a week, within a month or so, that will completely change.
Yeah.
And it's normally stress-related, but it can also be the fact that if you're thinking a lot, you tend to grind, and we tend to think a lot more at night than we do during the day. I know that sounds weird, but in that 10 minutes before you fall asleep, you make up a whole day of ideas and thoughts. That's why you should always keep a journal by the side of the bed, because some of the most creative songs, plays, stories, and films have come from that late night just before I go to sleep.
Yeah. Interesting. Nanette, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
I hear you've worked with Andre before?
Yes, I met Andre last March.
And? And what did you call in to say?
I called in to say that Andre has changed my life. He has worked with me and cleared so much pain physically and emotionally, taken so much old mud and gross abuse out of me, and then taught me how to refill it with refill my soul and my spirit with joy.
Nanette,
through meditation.
Nanette, yes? quick question for you. Have you had a lot of sugar? Have you been eating sugar today?
Oh my gosh, yesterday I had a sugar binge. How did you catch me?
You got to be careful. Your pancreas right now is swollen. Have you had any problems with any diabetes in the past, or anything in the family at all with diabetes?
I think maybe my grandmother, my mom's mom, but I never met her, so I don't know.
Do me a huge favor. Go see a doctor and just get checked out. This is not normal for your blood sugars to be. They're actually dropping right now severely, so it's hypoglycemia. But that's normally a sign of some kind of pancreatic issue. I'd get that checked out. And are you not sleeping well? Did you not sleep well last night?
No, for like 3 nights, not sleeping well at all.
That's sugar related. So what's happening is you're burning the sugar off at night, so your brain's overactive, so you need to change that. So
my brain's always overactive.
You shouldn't have diabetes. So if you get this taken care of and you change your diet, you'll be fine. But if you continue being the sweet binger, you're going to have problems. Just saying.
I had a sweet binge yesterday like a maniac for some reason. I'm usually not like that. I'm more salt. You caught me. Dang it.
Busted, Nanette.
You just got hashtag sweet shame.
You did.
Literally. Literally. Thanks for calling in, Nanette.
God bless. Take care.
That is so funny.
So what happened then is I could smell the sugar. So
really?
It's almost like a sudden sweet taste in my mouth, and then I could feel it. And then I go straight to the pancreas, and I can feel a throb around the pancreas, so it's swollen. It's not, if I think about it, it's gone. So it's almost like it's a flash, but then I very quickly forget about it. So it's not like it's normal memory. It's like an image that I feel or see.
But she's talking and you felt pancreas, or you saw a pancreas?
I felt sugar and it shot straight down to the pancreas and I could feel it swollen.
Okay.
And I could see her blood sugars were dropping, which is, it felt to me as though that she's starting to become type 2. Because you could just start.
Yeah.
But it's early enough, if the doctor takes a look at it and makes some changes, she'll be fine. But if it continues, she'll become a type 2 diabetic.
Now, I have a lot of diabetes in my family, which you may have felt and put it on her, but my whole family's diabetic. And I fell into type 2 probably 3 years ago. I was creeping in on type 2 and then made some dietary changes and everything was fine.
And what you've done is not just changed the diet, you've also changed the whole principle, the way you exercise, the way you breathe, because I can see the complete component there. So you as a person have changed everything about your psyche. So what that means is you're extending your life by maybe 10, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge difference.
As long as those 10, 20 years are going to be pleasant. I don't want it to be unpleasant. I used to say when I was younger, I'm like 70 sounds like a good time to check out.
What?
Before shit hits the fan and it gets real ugly. Now I'm like, my dad's 71. I'm like, no, my dad's still having a great time. Like,
time to revise that number.
Yeah, I'll revise the number, but I don't want to live really long and like have it be miserable. No. You see some people.
Maria, how could you ever be miserable? It's going to be, that 20 years is going to be so much fun.
Thank you.
90?
Yes.
You think I'm going to be happy at 90?
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that your psychic feeling? Because then I'll be like all cool about it.
I'm never wrong.
Okay. I always say I may not always be right, but I'm never wrong. And on that, I'll leave you guys. Before we wrap up, if you guys want more information on Andre, you can go to andre.com. That's O-N-D-R-E. We'll have him back on soon. And on Twitter and Instagram, @FindAndre. We'll put this up on our website, mariamenounos.com, which I believe our new website launches today. I believe.
Ooh, exciting.
Thank you, Miss Ashley Daniels, for the new design. We'll be back here tomorrow, guys. Thanks for joining us. @TamaraBerg. On Twitter @TamaraABerg. Of course, I'm @MariaMenounos.
That does it for us, guys. Thank you so much for listening to our free Conversations with Maria Menounos podcast edition. Help us, please, by rating and commenting on iTunes, and be sure to tell a friend. Check us out on SiriusXM Stars Channel 109 weekdays at 1 p.m. Eastern. You can also hear us on demand on the SiriusXM app. Join our Conversations crew if you guys want to join our newsletter with life-changing tips and tricks, lots of great giveaways, and so much more. Please email us at conversationswithmaria@gmail.com, or you can click the link in my Instagram bio. And follow us at Maria Menounos, at SiriusXM Stars, at Miss Ashley Daniels, at Lauren LaGrasso, at Haley Clover, and remember, be nice people, make good choices, and be present.